Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, the headlines have caused the world to focus its attention squarely and almost completely on the Middle East in the aftermath of the recent attacks on Israel by Iran. Meanwhile, Russia is continuing its war of aggression into Ukraine, and the needed aid from the U.S. Is still looming in the House and the Senate. The president did just come out in the last few hours in support of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's proposal. But the interesting thing is, in terms of the strategy and a strained relationship between Kyiv and Washington, D.C., we want to get underneath the headlines and see how that's playing out. What effect that's going to have on Ukraine and the war effort there. So let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Well, it's time to think again about what we think we know, and especially as it relates to Ukraine and their strategy in battling and dealing with Russian aggression. And we want to get into that with Dan Lamothe, of course, national security reporter for The Washington Post. And Dan joins us live on the line. Dan, welcome to the show. And as you look at this, Ukrainians have been looking at some different things that are a little further into Russia than I think the U.S. has been comfortable with. As you continue to cover this and watch this, what are you seeing and what are you watching in terms of how this is playing out?
Yeah, I think there's a couple notable things ongoing at the same time. One is that as Ukraine is sort of trying to fend this attack off in any way it can, it has launched a series of long-range strikes well into Russia, trying to target refineries and other things that would be valuable to Russia. I think trying to limit Russia's economy to some degree. And also, I think just, you know, make the point that they, too, can strike on other on their adversaries' turf.
Yeah.
While that's going on, though, we've also got this, complete paralysis in terms of delivering a serious amount of aid to Ukraine. It's been caught up in the House for months now. And we saw President Biden put out a statement today, but that's on the heels of a number of congressional hearings in recent days where you had General Cavoli of European Command and other senior Pentagon officials basically saying the moment's now and that within a matter of weeks, perhaps at this point, maybe a week, Russia will enjoy a 10-to-1 advantage with artillery shells over Ukraine.
Mm. Wow. And that is a stunning number to wonder how in the world you can do a 10-to-1 and have any kind of chance of even holding any ground, let alone trying to gain any of that back. I think it's been interesting, too. Obviously, the administration has challenges in terms of messages that they're sending to Iran and then to Israel and then to Vladimir Putin. But also, the administration has been sending some of those messages to Ukraine to say, "Hey, don't go after those oil refineries." And yet, the President Zelensky seems to be disregarding that and saying, "Hey, we have to do something, and this is our strategy."
Yeah, this goes back sometime at this point. Vice President Harris apparently delivered this message on her visit to Kyiv a while back. And it was received very poorly. But the United States has followed up with a number of other individuals delivering effectively the same message. You know, the point being that this makes the war unpredictable. This makes the war a little more challenging for the United States to support. From the Ukrainian perspective, they look at it as something they can do in a time of desperation.
Yeah, and I think as they do that, it seems to me that that Kyiv is getting increasingly exhausted or exasperated by the inaction of the United States. I thought one of the comments coming out from one of the Ukrainian officials saying, surely the mightiest military on the planet can find some batteries of Patriots that can help the only country in the world that's fighting ballistic attacks every day. So it seems to be growing tension in terms of the inaction here in the U.S. What else are you hearing, both in terms of the U.S., but then also how is this playing out with the other allies in Europe that are much closer to the fight?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Poland, the Baltic states, Finland, other countries that are much closer to the fight, that are willing and able to send some degree of aid. And in terms of kind of percentage, they're actually sending a greater percentage than the United States is of its own gross domestic product. I think the challenge becomes it takes a lot of those smaller countries to sort of add up to what the United States has in its arsenal. A lot of these things are available. They're in the U.S. arsenal. The problem is it requires congressional authorization. That authorization has not come. The previous tranche of money was used, and we've gone a couple months now, really going back to late last fall, with very little aid available.
Yeah, and is there any other real case in terms of why Ukraine should not go after some of those kinds of targets, whether it's energy production capabilities or those kinds of places or targets?
I think from the U.S. perspective, they've been trying to manage a war with a lot of unpredictability in it, with nuclear weapons potentially involved. And it's just if the situation can be contained, I think from the U.S. perspective, U.S. interests, the White House sees that as a better bet.
Yeah.
The Ukrainian perspective on this obviously would vary.
Yeah, no question. And then just give us one thing in closing here, Dan. What's something that we should be watching for in the days ahead beyond the battle that's going to continue to play out in the House this week? What else should we be watching as it relates to Ukraine and their battle against Russia?
There's been a lot of talk about whether or not Russia can break through in a serious way. You know, we've seen the front lines very, very well paralyzed for months now. After Ukraine's counteroffensive last year didn't go all that well. The concern becomes that the longer Ukraine goes without serious aid to kind of shoot back and hold the Russians where they are, you run the risk that Russia is able to kind of burst through, kind of collapse the front line, and then it becomes a much more dynamic situation.
Yeah, and it does seem that Ukraine hasn't had they've had kind of the just enough to keep things there, which is why I think the offensive may have been oversold or perceptionally oversold in terms of what could be done, because it was really, you know, inches and yards at a time without the capability to do some of those deeper strike things where you can soften up behind a line and then, you know, get some momentum rolling in. And I think what you're saying, Dan, is that the reverse could also happen from Russia's standpoint, that they've been pounding on that line, but they may be able to break through, and then everything changes.
That's right. If you can get behind the Ukrainian front lines, it becomes a much more complex situation.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. We'll continue to watch this very close this week. Dan Lamothe, national security reporter for the Washington Post. Dan, always appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Again, that's Dan Lamothe, national security reporter for the Washington Post. And it's so interesting. The dynamics are so complicated. And here the U.S. is saying, hey, don't do this. Don't go after those oil refineries. Again, worried about possible nuclear retaliation coming from Vladimir Putin. The U.S. trying to navigate all of that. And I think this has to be one of those cases where if you're always just trying to ratchet down, is that always the best strategy? And trying to appease everybody, do you end up appeasing nobody and causing the greater, wider conflict that you're trying to avoid? There's a lot in there. We'll continue to watch it and unpack it as we move it forward on Inside Sources. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.